Welcome to More Than Medicine, where Jesus is more than enough for the ills that plague our culture and our country. Hosted by author and physician Dr. Robert Jackson and his wife Carlotta and daughter Hannah Miller. So listen up, because the doctor is in.
Welcome to More Than Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Robert Jackson, bringing to you biblical insights and stories from the country doctor's rusty, dusty scrapbook. Well, I have a very special guest on the line with me today, Sheriff Chuck Wright, who's the High Sheriff of Spartanburg County. He's been a friend of mine for, I don't know, Sheriff, how many years have we known each other?
About 30, I guess.
Yeah, about 30 years. I took care of his mother and father as my patients more than 30 years ago. Took care of the sheriff when he was just a little skinny-legged teenage boy. And I've been honored to know him as a good friend ever since he was elected the sheriff of our county. So I decided it was time to invite him on to More Than Medicine and let him talk about some of the issues that are confronting Spartanburg County. Also, I want him to share a little bit about his spiritual journey, which I've been privileged to observe in a front row seat. And so, Sheriff, tell the folks a little bit about yourself and about your family first off.
Well, first of all, let me say thank you, and I'm very honored to be a part of your podcast. And I want you to know, and I want everybody that would hear this, I want them to hear the joy I have in my voice because of Jesus only.
Uh-huh.
Everything else is just kind of icing on the cake. Everything. I grew up in a little mill village called Startex.
Yeah, I know Startex.
Yep. Some people refer to it as Tuckapaw. It's an old Indian name. I learned how to be friends and that if you want to have friends, you got to be a friend.
That's right.
I had a drug problem for a long time. My daddy drugged me to church and drugged me to school and drugged me to the back shed when I needed it.
That's right.
So those are good problems, right?
That's right. That's right.
I met my sweet wife, Kim, some 40 years ago, and God saw fit to make her pay penance, I guess, and marry me. And we enjoy a great marriage. And I'm telling you, it's great when I learn to put Christ first.
Mm-hmm. I hear
so
you.
So we have five children and six grandchildren. And I hold a couple of titles, but my favorite one is Papa.
That's right. That's right. I hear you.
Yeah, it's just super. As you know, I was elected in 2004, took over the sheriff's office in 2005. And this is for people, what I'm about to say, I want people to let this resonate with you. I was what you call a weekend Christian for a long time. Sunday through Saturday, I wanted to live just the way I wanted to live. I wanted to do my own thing. Sunday, I was holy as I could be. That is not okay. I learned as a man when my wife and I started a church in our house in 2015 and did not even have a thought of doing anything like that. But when God says, I'll empty your hands and put new gifts in it, he will do just that. So the weekend Christian part of me was I was going through the motions, and I knew Jesus. I accepted Jesus. I knew all about him, or what I thought I knew all about him. When I started getting into the scripture, and my wife and I started praying some 4 or 5 years ago, and I'm very apologetic that it took me this long to do it. But when I started praying with my wife and reading scripture, and I'm not talking about reading a devotion and going, okay, we've read the description, you know, we've read it, so now what? We absolutely are all about some Jesus Christ, and by golly, it works.
Uh-huh. I hear you.
It just works. Now, I did not know, and truthfully so, had no idea that I could love my wife of 38 years as much as I do now. Funny, when Kim and I started talking and asking the Holy Spirit to come into our home and asking him to lead our lives, that please don't misunderstand. Everything is not perfect. Everything don't go my way. You know, there are still struggles and aggravations. But when I started taking the fact that Christ called the men, not the women, the men, to be the spiritual leaders in the home. When I started taking that serious, and the task is not too big for us men. I know a lot of men say, well, I don't know enough about the Bible. Then read it.
That's right. Read it and study it.
I don't know how to pray. Then practice.
That's right.
You know, Christ will tell you, and I'll tell you, super fast, when people want to do a task in their life and they practice about it, you know, it's so good.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, but when you turn loose and you hold on to Christ, your life has got what you call meaning. And I could talk honestly for another 2 hours just about that subject. But my challenge to the men, please don't listen to Satan say, well, you don't have a doctorate in Bibles. You don't know how to pray like some of the learned people do. You don't know. Christ wants you and me to come just exactly as we are and allow him to teach us that's what he wants to do.
That's right. I hear you, brother. I hear you. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about what's happening in the county now. What's the biggest issue facing you as the sheriff of Spartanburg County?
Drugs, illegal drugs.
Where are they coming from?
Some of it is coming through our county, but it's most all of it, especially the fentanyl. Every bit of the fentanyl is coming from the border not being secured.
Mm-hmm. So it's making its way from the southern border?
It absolutely is. Now, there are things that people are doing right here in our county that is helping that. And fentanyl, as you know, I can't speak to fentanyl as good as you can. It is a medical, drug.
That's right.
When used like it's supposed to be, it's fantastic.
Yeah, but it can be lethal. As a young fellow over in Cherokee County, so a family friend of a bunch of my nurses, you know, I run a medical clinic in Cherokee County, and he died just last week due to fentanyl exposure. He wasn't actually taking fentanyl. He was just exposed to fentanyl, and he died. Yeah. And all my nurses knew him and knew the family. Wasn't my patient, but it's just a sad story.
Yeah, let me just tell you that this is one thing I really, really, really wanted to make sure every person that may hear this podcast can hear. We have people that come into our detention center, and 99% of the people, and it might not be that high, I just choose to believe that that we got great people here in Spartanburg County, but 99% of the people that come into our county detention facility for drug issues are not bad people. They just simply made a bad choice.
Yeah, I know what you
and
mean.
And that's the way it is. You know, we got a ton of people that come in for other things, whether it's theft, whether it's, you know, just anything. It didn't mean you're a bad person just because you had to get booked into our jail.
Mm-hmm.
It just simply means that you got caught and you made a bad choice. That's what it means.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Well, now let me ask you another question then. What about the number of deputies that you have? I keep hearing there's inadequate number of law enforcement officers. Is that a true statement?
Yeah, it is a true statement. And the reason being is our county is growing exponentially, and nobody can really argue with that. And what happens is the more people that you get, the more deputies that you really need. And you don't need to, if you get 20 people moving in, you don't need 20 deputies, but you do need to grow with them.
Right.
Now, I am not here at all, and I don't want nobody to hear that I'm beating up county council, because that's furthest from the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have, you know, things that they have to do, and they got, you know, they're in charge of the money and what have you. And, you know, I think they're doing a pretty decent job. They have listened to my concerns, and they're helping me with that.
Yeah.
You know, but it is a slow process. When you get behind, and we're already behind as far as the number of deputies, you know, it just takes a little while to catch that number up.
Yeah, I understand that. I do.
But they're working with us, and we're praying, and we're going to keep kind of pounding the pavement on it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just going to get this taken care of. They were kind enough to give the new deputies that are incoming and deputies that are here some bonuses. And they promised me that in July of this year, that our budget would reflect a very good pay increase for everybody. And I have 541 deputies, including the detention side and roadside together. I could use 60 more at the blink of an eye.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. All right, well, let me ask you another question. Election integrity is an issue that just about everybody's talking about that's aware of some of the shenanigans that went on with some of the previous elections, recent elections. And I hear folks talking about the South Carolina Election Commission and county election boards not fulfilling their responsibilities, not actually following the law. And one of the questions I have, Sheriff, is there anything that you as a sheriff can do to step in when they are not following the law?
Well, first of all, I believe in election integrity. It's a huge thing. No one has any right to change a vote. It don't matter if it's for me or against me or you or whoever. Voting is a right that we have earned through our wonderful military. Our veterans have fought and worked really, really, really hard, you know, to make sure that those things can be done correctly and not a dictatorship.
That's right.
So, yes, there is things that I can do when I can prove it.
Yeah.
Now, I had some people in the 2020 election that was telling me I have a right to call, you know, a panel, this, that, and I really don't. You know, I looked and I looked and I looked. I don't have a right to convene a board or do any of those things like that. And some people misread the Constitution and think that I can overstep everybody, and I can't. But there are some things I can do, and I'm willing to do it as long as I have the proof.
Mm-hmm.
If
mm-hmm.
I've got some kind of, because I tell you what, we had some very, very good men and women in this county. Good people, God-fearing, want to do it right, fighting for the rights of everybody else. Brought me some things that a guy who was super intelligent brought this equation out, and I was like, boss, I need you to tell me what's going on here in Spartanburg. He said, what's this all over the country? I said, I'm only responsible for what I can do here in Spartanburg. Now, I could not prove that. Were there voter fraud? Maybe, but I couldn't prove it. And I can't go on theories and I can't go on faults. I have to go on evidence and facts.
Yep, I understand that. I do understand that. All right. Well,
I will stand up as much as I can. When I have evidence, I will absolutely apply the law.
Yep. Now, the other issue, you know, medical freedom is a big deal. And I have even my patients ask me about what's going to happen if there's another pandemic.
Let me cut you off and tell you this, the good doctor, if you don't mind.
Sure.
You are not, and I mean not, going to have deputies from Spartanburg County knocking on your door and telling you you must do A, B, C, or D.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not our job. Our job is to enforce the laws, protect the citizens of this county, whether they're popular or not popular. I'm not following an unconstitutional order.
I hear you.
Now, please go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, that does, and that's very comforting. And see, I think a lot of my listeners like to hear reassurance like that, because they get concerned about lockdowns and masking and vaccines and things like that, and you know, they're concerned about, well, they want to know if the sheriff will protect them from illegal requests from higher authorities. And you know, those are things that the average Joe on the street worries about.
I don't want you to ever worry about your sheriff's office being used against you. The sheriff's office in Spartanburg, as long as the good people will allow me to be their sheriff, will be protected as much as I can.
I hear you. I hear you. Now, any other issues that you feel like are important issues that you need to air out?
Yes, we have drug issues in Spartanburg County, and it drives probably 90% of our crime.
Yeah.
It drives just about every one of our thefts, car break-ins, burglaries, you know, fraud. People will do anything and everything they can to try to get some free money so they can go support their habit.
Yep.
Now, as a doctor, you know, and I'm going to tell people this, but people are so blown away when I tell them, I did some research. It takes literally 3 days, not months, not weeks, to be addicted to opioids.
Mm. Yep. Yep.
Now, you know, there are other alternatives from opioids. Opioids are not bad unless they're abused.
Yeah.
Now, I think you could agree with me on that, right?
Oh, yeah. You're right. You're right.
Yeah. All right. Now, here's what I'm seeing, and from what I've heard from other parents and people that are in our detention center, they've had a medical issue, whether it be some gum surgeries, jaw surgeries, shoulder dislocations, elbows pop out, knees hurt, you know, hip replacements, and they get on these opioids, and the doctors is not giving them 100. They're giving them, what, 20 or 30, however yeah. much y'all are yeah. allowed to give them.
They give them a week's worth, 10 days worth.
Right, and you take these 3 to 4 times a day as needed. What happens to the human brain
yeah.
in about 3 or 4 days? And I can't speak medically. I'm just telling you what I've yeah. been told
yeah.
and the research that I've done. It says that feeling that you get, you know, from the opioids, it kind of stays in your mind. Now, listen, when I took that pill, I didn't feel as bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to not feel good all the time. I want to feel great all the time. That's actually not possible. But we have super good men and women who raise their children to love and respect Christ and other people. And 3 days, man, 3 or 4 days, they're absolutely hooked on these things.
Yeah, doesn't take long. And it's interesting, Sheriff, because, you know, I have some patients who they detest the way pain medicine makes them feel, the way opiates make them feel. And then I have others who love the way opiates make them feel. And as a physician, I can't predict in advance which patients
sure.
are going to despise opiates and who's going to love opiates. And it's just, but you know, you're obliged to help people manage their pain for a trauma or a post-op pain or whatever. And, you know, and then some folks, their pain lasts for days or weeks after, say, a car wreck or a bad fall or a broken bone. And then next thing you know, you got a patient that's craving pain medication. And if you don't give it to them, they'll turn to the streets and they'll find it there.
And yes, sir, they sure will.
And some people, once they get a taste of opiates, they never lose that desire for it. And again, you can't predict in advance who's going to be that patient.
Yeah, you know, some people were asking me when we did some crackdowns here years ago, you know, about the opioids, this, that, and the other. And I said, listen to me. First of all, I want all people that might listen or might not listen, there is zero responsibility of the doctor who prescribes these things as they're supposed to. It is absolutely up to the person that's taking the medication to go, okay, that's all I'm going to get. This is the new normal. You know, I'm 60, almost 60 years old. I'm 59 years old. And I'm making a joke the other day. I said, you know, the older you get, the more your check engine light stays on, so to speak.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. Aches and pains, right?
It's just a part of it.
That's right. That's right.
You know, I know of very few people, and you know more than I do because you're a doctor. Some people don't have those.
Yeah.
I happen to have them.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. I can tell you a product that I use, and I did this when I had my knee replaced. And when I tell you it was super for me, I prayed.
That's right.
And I realized, and I out loud spoke this, God, your son Jesus went to the cross for me. There's no way what I'm feeling in this, and it was hurting too. I mean, the pain was out of a 10, it was like a 14.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept praying. I was, Lord, if you would please give me some relief from this. And it was just surgery. I mean, I'd had a knee replaced, man. I mean, you know, that's a big deal.
Yep.
And it kind of helped me keep my mind where it needed to be. And I was so fortunate. I only took 4 of the pain pills in 4 days' time. And I threw the rest of them away because they make me feel bad. They give me a false sense of security, so to speak.
Yeah.
And what I use, and I know everybody can't use the Advil products, but I can. I use what they call a dual Tylenol Advil, and it lasted longer than the opioids and made me feel better.
It's good.
But anyway.
All right, look, we're running out of time, Sheriff. You're running for re-election. Is that correct?
I sure am, and I would be honored if you would pray for me and pray that it's the Lord's will that I get re-elected. But please let me really quick tell you, when you go to our detention center and you speak, hey, I need some help with this any kind of addiction that I have, we provide that for you. We have Chaplain Ken Apple and a staff over there that will absolutely pray with you, get you in a Bible study. We want to help you because that's what Christ has put us here for.
Hmm. All right. So you're really serious about helping these folks that show up in the detention center with addiction problems.
Yes, sir. This is not a catchphrase to get me reelected. We've been doing that since 2011, since the good Lord put me in charge of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, we're in good business there, but. June the 11th is when I need you to come out and pray, and hopefully, you know, the good Lord will say, hey, listen, I want you to do this for 4 more years, and I'll keep doing what he tells me to do. I'll keep enforcing the law. I will stay in my lane as far as law enforcement goes and not be trying to be the medical,
I hear you, the medical guy.
Yeah.
I hear you. All right. Well, you're listening to More Than Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Robert Jackson. I'm interviewing today Sheriff Chuck Wright. He's the sheriff of Spartanburg County. He's up for re-election in the June Republican. I think it's Republican primary. Am I right there, Sheriff Wright?
Yes, sir. June the 11th.
June the 11th. And I'm certain that he would appreciate your vote on June the 11th. Sheriff, I appreciate you coming online to be interviewed with More Than Medicine.
It's my honor, and thank you for it.
All right. Well, thank you, sir, and we appreciate your service for all these many years.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you, sir, and God bless you.
All right, sir. God bless you, too, and God bless your family. Thank you very kindly.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this edition of More Than Medicine. For more information about the Jackson Family Ministry, Dr. Jackson's books, or to schedule a speaking engagement, go to their Facebook page, Instagram, or their webpage at jacksonfamilyministry.com. This podcast is produced by Bob Sloan Audio Production at bobsloan.com.